I'm keeping it sane because this is law. I have to keep this sane because this is law. This is podcast law right here.
I knew it was going to do well. It kind of shocked me how well it did. It ended up being on trending for gaming the day it came out, which is the only time that's ever happened. And I'm just going to list the amount of time between each subsequent record. 9 months, 6 months, 3 months, 3 months, 10 months. That's No Fear's record. 26 days for Drip. So you're right. It was absolutely insane.
All right, lads, welcome back to Inside MC, the podcast where I sit down bi-weekly now-ish, kind of. We'll see how long this lasts. With a different guest every 2 weeks. Really scuffed intro. I'll work on it. I used the old one for so long. It's a different one, but it's fine. It works. And it's okay because, as I mentioned, today I am joined with a brand new guest. We've had quite a big return so far. Obviously, the last podcast was with the Spiffing Brit. And this podcast is with the Weekly Thing.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm great. I'm a little tired, but excited to be on a podcast about Minecraft.
I think it's one of those days because I'm also feeling pretty tired. I've yawned about 3 times before we started recording, and I haven't yawned at all day. So
yeah, maybe it's something about my presence, even through disc, like a sedative.
Yeah, your voice is very like peaceful, very calming. There you go.
Thank you.
No worries. Before we get into the main chunk of the podcast and to learning more about you, I always had to give the introduction for you to let people know who you are. So obviously, I mentioned that you're the Weekly Thing. Your name is also Chazzles. That could literally mean anything. So who are you? What do you do? And if you have a fun fact, either about yourself or just in general for everyone today.
Okay, so I am Chazzles, in fact, and I do run the Weekly Thing. Although I've been thinking about taking on a little bi-weekly label recently, kind of like you mentioned. But I am a YouTuber. I've been doing this for about 4 years, almost 5 now. That's kind of insane. I am in college, and a fun fact. Okay, let me think. What is
fun? I actually had a fun fact for you, which was funny, but I can't remember it now, which is so annoying. I should have wrote it down when we postponed because I had it and I lost it. This is so sad.
What kind of fun fact about me?
It was either about you or about speedrunning or something like related to you. Oh, it's heartbreaking. I can't remember it now.
Well, what I was going to say is that I know much more about baseball, I would wager, than any other Minecraft YouTuber. And if anyone would like to challenge, please step forward.
Have you ever played baseball before, like in a professional sense or even like mini professional sense, or was it always just for fun?
I was on travel teams throughout like my teenage years. I stopped doing it seriously when I got to college, or really after COVID more so, but I'm still just a huge fan of the sport, and I played for about 10 years.
What do you study in college, if you don't mind sharing?
I study theater.
Oh, okay.
Acting and also design.
Very much a good link to...
I always forget that, but I'm also studying psychology.
I've actually taken up psychology A-levels. I wanted to go to university and do it, but apparently my previous like college grades weren't enough, sadly. As in, you have to do essentially 3 exams, but I only ended up doing 1 because I thought it was enough. It's just like a different format. It's weird. Oh, weird. It's too long to explain on the podcast. Obviously, it's about, I want to make it more about you as opposed to me, but I'm hoping to study psychology at university, which is like equivalent to American college.
Yeah, I think psychology is like one of the best things that anyone can study in any field, even if you don't want to be a psychologist, you know?
Exactly. Sorry, I'm being part distracted because my dog keeps barking. We're recording at like prime time of like my parents should be home, but none of them are home yet. So every single person who walks past my house, he thinks is my parent. Apologies if you can hear that in the background. It's very rare nowadays we get a shadow introduction, but he's here. Feature even,
shadow.
Sorry. Shadow, yeah. Do you have any pets? He is a Labrador Retriever.
I love that. No, I don't have any pets. My family, I'm sure, would have had cats if my brother and dad weren't both allergic.
Oh,
and my brother, for most of my life, I think he's old enough now, but for most of my life, he was scared of dogs, so we never got a dog. But as soon as I have saved up a little money and maybe moved into a slightly bigger place, definitely getting a like, no question.
Any specific name in mind for the cat?
I think that's the kind of thing that has to come to you. I believe in inspiration and feel when I meet the right cat, I will know who it is and
what it is. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. Right, anyways, this is a podcast about you where I'm meant to be interviewing you. So enough about pets and stuff, also because my parents have come home, so hopefully he'll stop barking. To kickstart then, I have like a weird kind of question. Obviously, because I feel like you're very similar to my sense, whereas I'm Orbit. I had a YouTube channel one day, Insane Orbits, but my thing is Inside MC. I don't really upload on Insane Orbits anymore. I sometimes stream there, but my name is Orbits, my brand is Inside MC. Firstly, right. Is Chazzles its own separate thing? Like, was Chazzles before the weekly thing?
Chazzles predates the weekly thing by maybe 10 years. My friends started calling me Chazzles in elementary school at some point, maybe like fourth or fifth. Like, I was like 10 maybe when I first got the nickname. Cannot remember where it came from originally, but it just made sense. And then I switched schools like 2 or 3 times, and everywhere I've gone, it's followed me. Like, a handful of my close friends, no matter where I am or like how recently I met them, will call me Chazzle. Even in college, my roommate who I met here, he calls me Chazzle. So when I realized at a certain point with the weekly thing, the reason that it wasn't, you know, branded individually at first is because at first it was like me and like several of my friends making videos just for fun. Over time, it became just two of us. And at the moment, it's mostly just me. But at a certain point, I realized that I wanted people to be able to identify with me. And like, if I ever want to make content that is not what is expected from the weekly thing, Chazzles made a lot of sense. Like, it's an internet sounding name. It rolls. It's easy to remember. My real name is Charlie, so it's like it's just a really nice nickname. I'm a big fan of it. But yeah, I do technically have a little side channel called Chazzles, where a couple of like really really bad speedruns I did are uploaded, although they might not. Let me check that, because
I think that might be my fun fact actually. Was in primary school. It only happened when I was in primary school, when I was like 8 years old or something like that. I had a friend, and he's the only person to ever call me it. Was he called me Chaz, because my name's also Charlie.
Whoa.
Yeah,
my god.
I think that there's very like, in the most unironic way ever, there's very little amounts of Charlies in the content creator scene. So, and there's two of us here right now.
Just us and Slime Sickle.
Exactly. There's another Charlie out there somewhere. There has to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that might be my fun fact, was that I also got called Chaz back in the day by only one guy, but then we stopped talking and no one ever picked it up.
Well, hey, I mean, that's enough. And so, if you know what? If I like mysteriously disappear at any point, especially in the next 4 years, don't ask why. Okay. You can take over the Chazzles like channel. You can take the weekly thing. I would only entrust it to a fellow Charlie.
Thank you. I with how hard I work on Inside MC, and I also have a video coming out 3 weeks, I think, after this one. Basically, I've already done it, edited it. It's just have a bit of a schedule set up that has speed running as an aspect of the video. So I'm already practicing for when my time comes.
You're training. Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. That's good to know. That's very comforting to know.
What about the weekly thing then? Where did the name for that come from?
Well, yeah, it was pretty straightforward. We just, my friends and I knew we wanted to like make YouTube videos. This was like at the very beginning of like quarantine from COVID. So we had like talked about making a channel, making videos about like sports or music or video games or whatever we wanted for a while. But we were like, okay, now we have like pretty much infinite free time and we can't go anywhere. So let's actually make a channel. And we had no idea what we wanted it to specifically be about. So we were like, the weekly thing. Every week it'll just be a different thing. And I don't remember if it was me who originally came up with the name or one of my friends. It might have been someone else. Honestly, I can't remember the moment where the weekly thing, the name was born, but obviously it's stuck. I think it's a pretty good like just like name for a brand, but it obviously became an issue once I ended up, you know, at a certain point with the videos getting longer, becoming higher quality as I got more skilled in like editing, writing, and just like they would take longer and longer to make. It just became, and especially once I got to college or even back to school in high school, it became less viable to make. But for about 3.5 out of the 5 years the channel has existed, it's not been weekly, but it seems like people are okay with that.
I mean, at this point, it's kind of become like, as you kind of touched on there, where it's not weekly, but at the point, it doesn't really matter. Like, the weekly thing has just become a brand now, as opposed to a promise. Like, at first, it started off as our name is what we are, but like, even Inside MC, like, it started off as you know, Inside Minecraft. That was the original name before I renamed it to Inside MC. And now it's just become branded Inside MC, where the name is Inside MC because the theme is Inside MC. But, you know, as I mentioned, I interviewed the Spiffing Brit. I have other plans to do some coverage with, like, guests outside of Minecraft. Some of the coverage that we do isn't based around fully Minecraft. So, like, at that point, it's now just become a name and my brand instead of a promise. Like, the weekly thing is just a brand as opposed to a promise. If that makes any sense. That's what I get. That's the vibes I get anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've always had a little conflict in my head about, you know, expanding my content past, you know, what viewers have come to it. Oh, that thought wasn't really good.
Well, no, I get it though, because it's a bit of a, like, with the Insane Orbis channel, the reason I grew at, like, such a good, like, that channel hit 40k subs at one point. I've lost subs over the last few years because I've stopped uploading, so every day I lose subs. I think it was just under 40k subs at one point. Like, I was doing really, really good and I was pushing quite a lot, but my main growth, major growth, was from Command Block tutorials. And then I stopped doing Command Block tutorials and I grew a Hive Bedrock Edition community, and then I stopped doing that. Like, I've never been able to settle down. The only time I've ever been able to stay stable with content is Inside MC, because I'm doing coverage on Minecraft as a whole as opposed to a specific category. I understand what you mean. You're at that stage as well, where the weekly thing is such a big channel, where do you really want to take the risk of losing all your viewers at the stage you've gotten to? But, like, you seem to enjoy it still. It doesn't seem like you're trapped in the content, whereas a lot of people can get to that stage.
Yeah, no, I got to a point maybe 2 years ago where I was really burnt out. I was like, I just don't know if I can muster up the motivation to keep, like, writing these, like, 10-page scripts about Minecraft speedruns. But over the past, like, year specifically, a lot of, like, you know, IRL stuff has, like, gotten in the way. I studied abroad for a few months. I've just been, like, very busy in real life. And then, obviously, there was the whole issue of the channel getting hacked. So,
yeah, we'll touch on that a little bit later as well, because I'm curious.
For sure. But there's been a lot of things going on that have prevented me from being able to make content. And just by just having a break from the thought process of, like, I should be working on content right now, I should be making more videos, kind of just as, like, a voice that's always in the back of your head, having that turned off for a few months for me, just because I couldn't make videos at certain points, made it so much easier once, you know, I got back to the point where I could. The motivation comes so much more easily to me. So I think the lesson I take away from that is that you have to know, for someone who is, you know, doing work that is, you know, repetitive or, you know, can just become tiring, and they're experiencing burnout, just finding little pockets of time where you can fully tell yourself you don't need to do this. You don't even have to think about it. You can act like this doesn't exist, and then tomorrow you can think about it. And it'll be a lot easier.
But in regards to the whole, like, burnout part that you mentioned as well, and everything you mentioned there, I relate to a lot, because back in December, I stopped Midweek MC. So for an entire year straight, I was uploading 2 podcasts a week. And in November, I said, it's been a year. I've accomplished a goal of saying I can do it. I've lost a lot of my life. I've had a lot of stress. I'm stopping Midweek MC. And then because of that, because I had more time on my hands, I started being, like, slacking with Inside MC because I had this rest. And then burnout hit me so many times while I was still doing Midweek, but I was able to overcome it because I kept myself busy. As soon as that stopped, burnout hit me like a truck. And in December, I lost so much motivation to the point where I was thinking of just giving up content as a whole. Like, I had no interest, and I look back on it, I realize it was just a phase because I'm really passionate again. But at the time, it didn't feel like a phase. It felt like I genuinely lost all of this motivation and I was tired, because I saw growth and I had these cool opportunities, but I kind of sat back and realistically said to myself, what have I actually accomplished after this year? But now, after that, like, break over December and January, where I didn't do anything, I made a few tweets, but I didn't do anything big, I've been able to come back with this really big return and slow things down a little bit to the point where I can still enjoy it. Like, editing this podcast near the end there would have felt like a chore, but now I'm actually looking forward to editing it again, and I'm looking forward to recording it again, because I don't have the commitments or promises that I had for so long.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect. I think
basically
really,
my, like, way of saying I relate to you.
No, yeah. I think it's not an uncommon thing, and I think, like, one of the, like, most overlooked things about, you know, when you talk about being a content creator, a YouTuber, or, like, what skills you want to have, what it takes, people, you know, always talk about, like, the quality of the content you're making, you know, if you have original ideas, how you market it, all those things. But, like, arguably the most important thing of all is how you integrate content creation into your life. And how you're able to balance it so that, you know, you are in a state of equilibrium and you don't get burnt out on anyone, which is a way easier said than done, even though I kind of said it in a not concise way. But
well, I guess
my point.
Well, the way I see it, I kind of add to it and maybe hopefully explain it like a little bit better for people who pick up on the way I speak, essentially. Just this is for regular listeners, not saying that you did a poor job. It's just for people who know how I speak. Is
for the English listeners.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say for the Inside MC listeners, but English listeners work as well. It's my way of saying it is more so like you can keep content consistent. Like it's really easy to, especially if you're just uploading like 20 minute unedited videos or just yapping away and stuff. And that's not a problem. That kind of content isn't a bad thing at all. I've seen so many people do so well with it. Just an example. It's a lot harder when you kind of need to, for instance, like scheduling podcasts. We had to reschedule this one. We had it booked in, we've rescheduled it last minute. It was completely fine because, you know, I completely appreciate that you're giving me your time and that you have a life. And I would like to work around you when I was able to, but at the same time it's like scheduling can be really tough. Like there's one situation that happened at one point throughout the podcast career where on the day last minute during like the busiest week of my life I had somebody cancel last minute, and then the backup guest I got rescheduled on me 3 times last minute. Like that makes it so hard where like you have to really have like motivation and patience for stuff like that, and that's when it's hard to make it consistent. Yeah. If you're, because Inside MC doesn't exactly have a high quality, right? It's, we have an animation, we chat, it gets edited up and it's uploaded, right? But quality aside, it's the part where I'm constantly having to like reschedule or arrange or sit down and take like an hour or 2 hours out of my life constantly. That's the kind of hard part of mixing it into real life. There you go. That's the pod. That's my way of relating through the podcast.
No, totally. And yeah, especially it's like a whole separate challenge. Just the more collaborative you are as a content creator, especially with everything being online. Like it's such a weird career when you think about it in terms of like who are your coworkers. Like most of your coworkers are people you'll never even know exist.
Yeah, exactly.
And like the people who make content similar to you, you know, like unless you're content, like unless you're making the kind of content you are where it involves a lot of like connecting with other creators and sort of like being a focus, like a touch point for the community in a sense. You know, for a typical YouTuber who's just mostly making just their own content themselves, not to say that you're not to like,
I get you, don't worry.
Like,
no, don't worry.
You get what I mean.
I completely understand what you're saying. People who just make like SMP type content where it's them, their video about them as opposed to interviewing people.
Right. Like that's like the majority of even your coworkers who you know exist because they're making, you know, you have a similar audience. You'll never speak to most of them. And, you know, plenty of them you'll never even like message. It's such a weird, if you allow it to be, it's a really antisocial profession, and it's really easy to allow it to be. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like for some people, that's kind of like the perfect career. Like that's exactly what you want. And then you can go be social in your free time. And there is a lot that I appreciate about, you know, just setting my own deadlines, being my own quality control, all that stuff. But then there's always like sometimes this reminder, I'm not, you know, like if this is what I'm doing for work, I'm not seeing anyone else all day. I'm not interacting with human. It's a weird dichotomy.
I lost like a lot of free time with like the format I had going last year. So this year I kind of sat back and I was like messaging one of my close friends, like online friends. I don't really have any IRL friends. I do like work colleagues and stuff. I just don't like really talk to anyone for school because we just have different lives, which isn't a bad thing. Like I still have local neighbors who I'm friends with, all that kind of jazz. But I say local neighbors as in neighbors who have moved, but they're still local. But in regards to like content, I saw one of my close online friends and I said like I realized that like I didn't really connect too much with creators quote unquote around my size, because I was so focused on Inside MC, which wasn't a bad thing because it was like a business and I was treating it really well. But at the same time I look back and I'm like I didn't really keep enough time to decide to like interact with people and make close connections. So kind of linking in with the antisocial thing, like I have some friends and I talk to people, and when I reach out to people they like normally reply and stuff, but I don't really talk to people online too much. much, which I'm trying to improve. And it's something that I wish I hopefully can fix, because I feel like I lost that and didn't capitalize that much on it last year
I get what you mean. I'm very much a person who, like, even with my real life friends, like, very, you know, half the time I'll forget to reply to a text. I'm bad at texting, and I'm bad at just keeping track in my head of, like, every social interaction which is in progress. That's the thing about the intern, is like, you can have like 50 conversations happening at once while you're like in the middle of like an exam. And it's like, you just gotta like learn how to like drop that stuff from your mind for your own mental health. But you also, it's obviously super valuable to make an effort to connect, maintain connection. It's a skill that I think in real life comes much more naturally than it does online. I think online you kind of have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier when you're talking face to face as opposed to,
That's true.
Like meeting someone you've never met before and forcing a connection of like, we're not forcing a connection, but like making a connection through someone who can't pick up on how you act IRL and will probably never meet you. So they just know you by voice and by what you tell them, essentially.
Right.
Anyways, that was nice. That was a really nice, deep conversation. It went really off topic from an interview, but like, I love podcasts when it happens like that. The ones that stick to interviews is completely fine, but I love having talks like that because I feel like it needs to be had, essentially. And it's, like I said, it's always what you want to talk about. So it went down that road because you wanted it to. I'm more than happy that it did.
Right. No, yeah, I like, you know, I feel like that's what podcasts should really be about. I mean, obviously the interviews are important, but like, I think a lot of people listen to podcasts just to like get the chance to hear someone they're interested in, how they think, how they speak.
Yeah, that's why I always give the opportunity. You can choose, like, you can choose what role you want to go down.
That's a great way to
work. In regards to content and like kind of linking back to what we said earlier about the whole like deciding where you want to take the content, some of the oldest videos on the channel, like your first video, public video, is reacting to Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. You did quite a bit of baseball content. Then you kind of moved into partial gaming content, sort of Mario Kart tier list, retro modern games, that kind of jazz. And then it seems like after like a few more like NFL and like baseball and all that kind of stuff videos, we just jump straight into speedrunning. Like every single video after that, at least the public ones, are just straight up Minecraft speedrunning videos. How did that happen? Why did that happen?
Yeah, so let's see. This is really funny. I'm looking through the old videos. I forgot about half. So the first speedrunning video we made was right after, and looking back, I feel very lucky that I happened to be like interested in paying attention at the time, because it was right after version 1.16 came, which for people who don't know, is the version where Minecraft speedrunning kind of exploded. Like, there was all this stuff with Dream, but there was also everything else about like the growth and popularity of Minecraft speedrunning stemmed from like version 1.16 being released, because that added like the piglin trades and like is still the fastest version for the world record in random seed glitchless. Anyway, the first Minecraft speedrunning video we made was literally like about the first 1.16 record that we like know of. It was a runner called Benex had like a 40-minute run like in the middle of the afternoon the day it came out. And I made a couple of videos about his records, which set over the first couple days before it was really competitive. And then I think there was another record by a runner called Nice Twice, which it didn't like blow up, but it got like 1,000 views, which was one of our highest performing videos at the time, if not the highest. I think we had about 150 subscribers at this point. This was very much not thing where I expected these videos to like blow up. I wanted them to do well, and I think I recognized even from the start like just the value of like right after a world record is set, creating just like analysis of it for people. You know, people will be looking to understand it better if they're interested in it in the first place, which is interesting because I've kind of shifted away from that mindset entirely, but that's beside. There was this record by Nice Twice, which got maybe 1,000 views. At this point, it was still like alternating between Minecraft videos and other content, but the video that changed everything, can cut this.
No, it's my channel. Is it the Dream Access Minecraft speedrun mods of being by highest recap and reaction by any chance?
Maybe I missed it when
I was playing. Minecraft PS4 world record is absurd. I'm just looking at it.
No, those are both after it. Wait, actually, I'm glad we're talking about this because part of what I had to do when I got the channel back was like make all of my videos public again because the hijackers had like made all the actual videos on the channel private. And I could have sworn I got all of them, but... I'm double checking now.
I'm keeping it sane because this is law. I have to keep this sane because this is law. This is podcast law right here.
I actually miss like a bunch of these.
Oh my god! So you're gonna re-upload them?
Yeah. No. I'm just gonna make them public right now.
Oh my god! Yeah. See, this is definitely sane. This is inside MC tradition. I should have waited till the podcast to ask you to change your age on Twitter to 20 instead of 19.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did do that. Thanks, I saw you. But anyway, I don't know how immediately.
I think if I refresh, it should now.
Yeah. The video that changed the entire direction of the channel was when a runner named Corbanos got a sub 15 in Minecraft 1.16. It was like a 3-ish minute record cut at the time. It was the first run like to get below 17, 16, and 15 minutes, if I remember correctly. And so obviously it was a big deal. And it was like every subsequent record in that category, very dependent on luck. Like you can't get a good, like a world record competitive speed run in Minecraft 1.16 RSG without like insanely good luck. But we didn't really, the community.
All of them have shown up, by the way. I can see the videos, just so you know.
They are showing up?
Yeah, I can see this Minecraft speedrun was almost an insane new world record, just has so many views compared to the videos around it.
So what happened actually is essentially what I was getting at is that there was a lot of chatter among the community, even though there wasn't much basis for it, that it might have been faked. Ooh. So I just threw in a little twist to the sort of formula I had been doing each time there was a record, and I put a little "was it faked" in the thumbnail, and it blew up, got a million views.
Channel, I didn't see that one.
Like grew like 5,000% in size within the days. And then actually the video before that has like 500,000 views, this Minecraft speedrun was almost an insane world record. That actually kind of blew up like after the Corbanos video did. But kind of in parallel. But it's funny, like if you look at the view graph, it's like, let me pull. Yeah, it's like flat on the floor for the first 24 days it had 145 views, and then if you double that time span it had 400,000. So basically that Corbanos video with the little "was it faked" in the thumbnail kind of carried the channel into becoming an actual channel with an audience. And pretty soon after that I was able to get monetized, and you know, I was like, wait, I can make money off of this. And I was also like fully still in my peak of being very interested in Minecraft speedrunning. So I was like, okay, yeah, I can commit to just doing this every time there's a new record. Which lucky for me, like there was like a dozen records within like a year, like just so frequently there was a new world record in this category, which was the most popular category in terms of viewers. And then the next world record in that category that happened after that was by a runner named Curryway. I also put a big, you know, fake question mark in the thumbnail of that one, even though there was like even less reason to think that it might have been fake. I stopped doing that after that, but I do think that that concept, I mean, all of my most popular videos, which have come out like years later, are about runs that actually were fake. So I think that's an obsession that is stuck. That's kind of beside the point. Basically,
was Corbanos' speedrun faked or not?
No.
It wasn't. To cut you off. I was just dying to know.
No. Yeah. I don't know if I would even recommend watching that video. It's so funny to go back and watch and like see that it's one of the most popular videos on the channel. That was before, you know, I didn't get any like high quality equipment until after I had monetized the channel and made some money. So it's still like bottom tier microphone quality, like probably like 720p at best. Not edited well. Like, I was using a free trial of a crappy editing software. But I guess it goes to show that, like, marketing of a video is arguably even more important than the content of a video when it comes to success. I would say that for a single video, the marketing is more important, but for a channel.
Yeah, you can make up for the poor mic quality if you do good videos. Like, I don't exactly have the most perfect setup, but I feel like I make up with it with, I don't know, I've been somehow able to get you and so many other cool people on the podcast. I must be doing something right.
No, I mean, I think it's, first of all, I wasn't, like, familiar with your content before this, but just from being on the podcast, like, I think you're skilled at interviewing people, and I think, I don't want to make assumptions about you, but you seem to me like a curious person and a person who can, you know, like, share that curiosity, make others curious, and, you know, find answers to things and find resolution to whatever that itch is. And I think people can connect to that. I can see why you have an audience and why you're having some success.
I'm glad you say curious. Sometimes people have said nosy, which is just poor wording, because I'm not exactly digging into your life. I'm just interviewing you about content because it's something I've watched a lot of your videos. I think you're an amazing creator. And I mean, I said it when I invited you on, and that's why I asked Bendo to reach out to you, because, like, I just get people on who I haven't been able to get everyone I want on. But the people I've got on is people I want to talk to, like, and I have the opportunity to do that, very fortunately enough. So I'm not being nosy into your life. I just think you're a good content creator as well as everyone else I've gotten on, and that's why I just want to learn more about you, essentially, and give you a platform to speak your shit.
I don't really think of people as nosy. I think being curious is a very important. I think it's, like, in terms of self-growth, I think trying to be curious is always a good thing for any person, and when it comes natural, it's a gift.
You've over your time on YouTube, you've made some, like, very, very popular videos in regards to speedrunning, like, because I mentioned this in a video that's coming up, is that speedrunning has, like, grown over the years, and even then, like, it's still not at a stage where I think it's as popular as it can be, if I'm being dead honest. I think it's doing good, it's just it could be doing way better, which isn't the fault of anybody, it's just, like, my opinion. But, like, this the fake Minecraft world record almost fooled everyone, 3.9 million. The new Minecraft world record is hilariously fake, 3.4 million. One isn't talking about a fake run. The biggest breakthrough in Minecraft speedrunning history, 657k views. Obviously, a lot of your bigger videos are talking about fake runs because people are just naturally more curious and interested in those kind of videos. But, like, this is going to be a weird question because obviously I know you can never expect success. But out of your top 8 videos, or any of them, did you sit back when you'd finished editing them, or when you was just about to upload them, and go, yeah, this is going to do well? Like, in not in an egotistical, like, oh yeah, I'm the shit kind of way, but more of a, I'm very proud of this video. If this doesn't do well, I'm going to be really disappointed. Because I personally don't feel that way for all of my videos. Like, I like to feel very confident and positive about them, but I'd be lying if I said that I thought every video was going to be a banger. But out of those top 8, how many of those did you think was going to do as well as they did?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's examples of both of those things in this top 8. I think the video that comes to mind in terms of one that I was like, this is gonna do well, and if it doesn't, I'm gonna be disappointed, is the top speedrunner was caught faking a Minecraft world record, that third one. That's about a runner called Floby, and at the time I had just the prior video before that is the second most popular video, which is about, like, a terrible, like, a very obvious fake world record, and I kind of just, like, took a comedic approach to the video, and, like, it got a ton of dislikes but a ton of views because, you know, half of my audience was like, this is hilarious, and half of them were like, what the hell is this, why aren't you talking
about it? Was your audience versus, like, what have I just clicked on, audience, right? Essentially,
regardless of, like, the reception, the marketing of that video did very well, and it was blowing up. It was, like, performing extremely well off the bat. And then right after that, this sort of investigation into an actual top speedrunner who had been faking runs, you know, for an extended period of time, that all kind of came out. And so I made that video as quickly as I could while still maintaining, you know, a high quality standard. I think that's, like, the video that I would say I was able to make up to the quality I want in the shortest amount of time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to do well. It kind of shocked me how well it did. It ended up being on Trending for Gaming the day it came out, which is the only time that's ever happened on this channel. Most of our big videos are like accumulators, you know what I mean? But that was a video that I knew was going to do well when I finished it. I would also say that eighth video, the most popular one that's not about a fake record, that was a video that when I finished it, I was like, oh, this is the best video I've ever made. It's not going to be like the most popular video because it's not about a fake speedrun, but I think it could do well. That was more of one where I just really wanted it to do well because I was proud of it. And so it was really, really satisfying to see it sort of perform equivalent to sort of how I felt about the quality of it, you know, becoming the most popular video on the channel aside from the fake speedruns. So that one was great. On the other hand, you know, I mean, the Corbanos video stands out because I didn't know that I was about to actually get like attention and an audience. But I would say the rest of these all were pretty much expected because they came out, you know, once I reached a point where I knew the power of fake speedrun videos, and like I wanted to avoid like centering my content on that, but I knew when they would do well.
Yeah.
No, I had another.
Well, I was gonna say, how do you even go about faking a speedrun? I've actually genuinely never asked this question to anyone before. So how does someone fake a speedrun?
Well, there's levels to it. The most straightforward way is just splicing, which like splicing two videos together, but making it appear that, you know, there's no edit. In Minecraft, people will usually do that when they're switching between like the overworld, the Nether, the end. When you get the little menu screen, they'll put the splice there.
Okay.
And you would actually be surprised how often people are still able to get away with that. I mean, it's less and less common.
They have
now
to post the seeds, don't they? So
they post the seeds. They post the world files. I don't know too much about the verification process when it comes to actually like what they look for in those files, but I do know that like over time the verification process and their methods of verifying have sort of like progressed and become much more thorough as people have gotten more and more creative with like clout chasing and faking records as Minecraft has blown up. Like I know before 1.6, well, I guess the dream cheating thing wasn't ever brought up at the time, was it? Sorry, I'm just trying to remember the timeline. But
was it? Yeah, I think the dream cheating one was that they buffed the drop rates from the piglins, right? Or something like that.
Oh yeah, there was that going on at the time. Yeah, totally. So I think around then, and essentially just when Minecraft speedrunning blew up concurrent with Dream blowing up and 1.16 being released, things like most of the methods they have in place beyond just, you know, watching the video, checking the world file, have been put into place since then. I think they've kind of developed in parallel. People have gotten better at faking runs and the mods have gotten better at verifying. It's funny, the most popular video on the channel is about a run that happened around the same era. It was like probably about a month before that Corbanos, and it was found to be faked, but only not until much later. And at the time I made a video about it, just breaking it down like a regular world record, not even questioning if it was fake. That's a point, but it's just kind of a funny thing. I think that's
kind of crazy though. Yeah,
unless something else comes to light, that's the only time I've done that. But
when do I break the world record and you'll be analyzing it, and it's just I just pop between multiple different things, you know?
Yeah, my favorite video to make on the channel like ever was a video I did with my friends where I had them all make fake speedrun, and then we sort of just like decided which one was the best. But they all had like varying levels of skill, so some of them were just terrible. Like just like some of them, like I had one friend who couldn't figure out how to beat the dragon, so he just cut in like a clip of someone else doing it, like from a speedrun. And then I had a friend who like was also like a real life friend who was also like a Minecraft speedrunner at the time, who actually made a very convincing one that we had to like, he had to like explain to us where the splices were. The mechanics of faking a Minecraft speedrun, I guess what it tells you about me that I don't really know too much about it is that I've never even thought about it. I've never even considered the concept of faking. I'm too pure of heart and mind. That's the take. takeaway here.
Fair enough. I like it. I'm just curious because obviously you've watched a lot of video. You've watched a lot of analysis, sorry. You've done a lot of analysis on a lot of it. That's why I was curious as to opposed to how you do it. But it's interesting to hear your thoughts and views in regards to all of it as well. I want to talk about, because it's with you, and obviously you do a lot of speed running, like coverage and stuff like that. I want to talk about one of the, in my opinion, one of the craziest moments that happened in Minecraft speedrun history last year. Fortunate enough for, you know, people like me who enjoy your content, this happened before your channel got hacked. Correct me at any point if I'm wrong here, because I'm just talking off raw knowledge. But at some point last year, NoFear finally beat the Minecraft world record, getting a time of 7 minutes and 26 seconds on 1.16. And then wasn't it... 4 days later, or 3 days later, one or two, Drip120 then beat that world record in a 7 minute and 1 second run. All right, yes. Am I wrong in saying that?
It wasn't quite that close together. The runs happened, but they did happen less than a month
apart. Less than a month, okay. Which is still insane, considering how long it took to get in the first place.
Yeah. No, it just given the fact that, like, you know, Drip's record was, what, like a year and a month ago, and it still hasn't been beaten. The fact that those two runs happened in time span, pretty crazy. One thing I like to do is go to, like, the history tab on speedrun.com, and you can just see progression of the record, as opposed to, like, the current leaderboard, because like NoFear's run is now ranked fourth on the leaderboard. But if you just go down the list of like the gaps of time between I'm gonna start from first sub 10 in this category ever. That was Brentilda in April of 2021, and I'm just gonna list the amount of time between each subsequent record: 9 months, 6 months, 3 months, 3 months, 10 months. That's NoFear's record. 26 days for Drip. So you're right, it was absolutely insane.
That's just, yeah, it was mental. And now it's been a year, like you said, like it's thousand Drip nearly, if with a better perch, nearly got a sub 7 minute time, which is absolutely insane that that's possible in a Minecraft speedrun. Like years ago, two, 3 years ago, people couldn't even imagine getting a sub 15. Yeah. A bit longer than that. The sub 15 was insane, and now people are looking at sub sevens.
I'm working on a video right now about a run that had like two more things gone right at the very end of it, would have been like sub 6:30 potentially.
Oh my god,
it's pretty crazy. Our perception of just like what is possible in the game has just kind of had to change as speedrunners and like, you know, community members finding new strategies, like I've just kept on pushing it lower. Maybe the most embarrassing video on my channel, just given that we make Minecraft speedrun analysis content, is a video from September 2020 where I talked to a speedrunner about what the theoretical perfect Minecraft run might look like. At the time, the record was around 17 and a half minutes. And in the video, I talked with this speedrunner about, you know, the potential for a sub 15 minute run being the perfect Minecraft speed. And then 9 days later, 9 days after that video was uploaded, I uploaded the video about Corbanos's new record, which was 14 minutes, 56 seconds. So literally less than 10 days later, I was sort of proven completely wrong about this concept of a perfect. And then, you know, obviously fast forward 4 years and that looks even a little more ridiculous.
But then again, at its time 4 years ago, that was the perfect Minecraft speedrun. Just because it's changed now doesn't mean, like, at the time, based on tech, based on what people knew,
right.
So technically you're still right. So it's less about looking silly, it's just more of an interesting internet archive to see how much it changed in 4 years, like the perfect speedrun there then as opposed to the perfect speedrun now, and what the perfect speedrun will be in about like 3 or 4 years time.
I don't even have any idea, because it's hard to imagine the run getting much faster. Like at a certain point, obviously it was hard to imagine, you know, a run getting under 10 minutes back when we were talking about a sub 50, but you know, as the time gets lower and lower, at a certain point, you know, there's a set of things you gotta do to finish speed run, and we're getting down to 7 minutes. I believe there'll probably, I would say it's pretty likely there'll be a sub 7 record within like, you know, 2025. Like I 3 or 4 years from now, it could be like 30 seconds lower, it could be 3 minutes lower. No clue. That's something that sort of the the community and the runners themselves and the people who are constantly finding new little optimizations. Those are the people who might be able to give you some semblance of a prediction. But no, I owe a lot to just everyone in the Minecraft speedrunning community. Like, it's kind of crazy that I've been able to have such a successful content creation, like whatever, speedrunning myself. Just like sort of talking about this community from I would say for the majority of the time I've been doing this, I've been like inside the community, but there's an extent to which it's also just like I'm kind of looking at it all happening, just watching it happening and then talking about it. I think about it a lot like sports. Like, I'm a sports journalist and Minecraft speedrunning is just the esports, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Which is a pretty niche thing on the internet, sports commentator for an esport.
I think out there, sorry, I heard what you said. I'm not disregarding it. I'm just saying my take on something.
I
just want to say that I acknowledge what you said about the whole linking it, and I completely appreciate, like, I'm not very good at events, but like I play in some sometimes, but I like commentating them. I didn't have a response, but I just gave you a response. But yeah, like, it's like how esports casters will cast esports events without actually being esports player themselves. You do coverage on Minecraft speedrunning without actually speedrunning. I do coverage on little things as well. Like, I mean, I've had loads of speedrunners on the podcast. I tried speedrunning one time, but I'm not exactly a pro speedrunner. So I get it. It's good. But something you said earlier is I reckon there's a sub 5 minute, 30 second run out there. The only issue with speedrunning is obviously for it to be a legitimized run, it has to be on a random seed. And for it to be on a random seed, you could get the most... I've had a perfect seed before, which, like, it was so good. Like, my exit, it was a monument run. So I got the gold from the monument. I went into the end. I came right next to a fortress. I got the perfect trades, all of it legit, live on stream. Speedrunner who was good at the game could have sub 10 that, maybe sub 8ed it, like, just because I was in the nether and everything at such a good time. I didn't get to the end stage, so I don't know how that would have worked, but like, you could be on the most perfect run in the world, one mistake and you'll never get to play that seed again. It could be the perfect sub 6 seed, and if you make one mistake, you've lost that forever, and you have to queue so many more times to get another sub 6 seed, which is the most heartbreaking thing about Minecraft speedrunning.
No, it's brutal. Very, very intense. More so, I mean, I don't want to say it's like more intense than like other popular speed games, because those are sort of, that's a different type of intensity where it's just like the repetition and the perfection, and like getting things frame perfect is obviously incredibly hard.
At least you know what you're getting into. But,
right. Like, random seed speedrunning, which is, you know, a fairly unique thing to Minecraft, is just a whole different beast, because adaptability, improvisation, decision making become massive fact in a runner's skill when they really aren't in other speedruns. Like, in most games, if you're adapting on the fly, that means, you know, something's off and you just start over. But it's brutal. I mean, people, you know, it used to be a flex to a lot of speedrunners track how many resets they have. It used to be a flex once you got into six digits. Now I think there's definitely runners with millions of resets. There's probably someone with tens of millions. On the one hand, it's a mind-numbing grind, and on the other hand, you always have to be like ready to snap into focus and lock in and, you know, play as perfectly as you can. And then there's also just, you know, you have to get so lucky. Like, that's always been true in random seed speedruns, but, you know, the lower the record gets, the more skilled the runners are, but also just the luckier the runs are, or the more luck factors are needed. You know, the more niche strats are used, usually that means the more dependent the run is on more things going. I don't think I could be a speedrunner, even if I was imbued with, like, if I got like twice as good at the game, I think I could get like a sub 10, but I don't think I would have the mental capacity.
If there's a question. Oh, sorry, go on.
No, I was just saying, I forget if you asked me.
Well, no, it was more of a statement, and then you replied with a statement. Yeah. It was completely fine, yeah. I do have a question now, however, though.
Yeah.
Do you plan to do any coverage on Cobalt's sub 1 minute run, or Corey Way hitting 5,000 no reset speedruns at any point?
I've thought about both of those things. Cobalt's run, I think, might be less likely just because I've already made a video about one shot.
I saw it. That's why I was curious. Yeah.
Yeah. Although.
Big fan here. Sorry. I must say.
No, I appreciate that. That's another, or that's actually the video that was the most, we were talking earlier, that's like the eighth most popular video, which I was most proud of when I finished it. Get back to
the Corey Way 5000 is the one I mentioned.
I might make a little about the Cobalt Run. I might make a little like shorter video, just revisiting one shot and diving into how, you know, that barrier was broken, you know, if people are interested, which it seems like they might be. And I have been trying to find ways to make my videos shorter without like sacrificing, you know, the way I write. Just for the sake of like being able to get videos out more consistently. So that's definitely something on the maybe list. Which is also true of Curry Way's his no reset thing. Let me pull up his Twitter. How far is he?
He's just gone over 5,100. He's actually funnily enough live right now. He's on his 5,105th run.
Yeah. Wow. It's an insane thing he's doing, because I know his goal is 100,000.
I reckon 10,000 would be a good video. Once he makes it 10% of the way there, I reckon I'd make a good video about it. What, like, this speedrunner? No. This speedrunner is insane, or something along those lines. He just misplaced an obsidian for a nether portal. Oh my god. Sorry, I lurk in streams while I talk on a podcast.
Doing no reset speedruns in the first place is crazy. To do it, like, for hours a day, pretty much every day, for, you know, if he goes through with it, like, a decade at least, like, from now. Because he's been doing it, I think, for over a year.
See, the thing about Corey Way is, at least from what I've picked up from like our little interactions here and there, is he's very much the type of guy who, now that he's set the challenge, even if he gets burnt out or even if he doesn't want to do it anymore, he'll do it just for the sake of, I've already said I'm gonna do it, so I will see it through. It's insane. 100,000 no reset speedruns is mental.
You have to be a little, and I say this with all the love in the world, you have to be a little psycho.
I agree. Corey is amazing, but you do have to be a little bit crazy to put yourself through this.
And looking now, it's actually, he's been doing it for longer than I thought. His video where he crossed 1,000 was March 2022, so almost 3 years ago. So if just doing the math, that's 4,000 in 3 years since then. So that's,
but see, the thing is though, with the maths, I'll let you see the math through. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I'll let you say that and I'll say what I was gonna say. Apologies.
Well, yeah, if he continues at the pace he's been going at over the last 3 years, it would take him 71 more years to finish.
Yeah,
to get to 100,000. That is. I don't think anyone would be upset if he didn't make it all the way to 100,000. I don't understand, like, if I was him, I would probably at this point go to 10,000 and then stop. Like, I would be like, I need to find an out.
I think,
like you said, just the type of person he is.
Well, I think the thing is, right now, obviously I'm one of the viewers, he's up to 1,000 average viewers. Like, I haven't been tracking how much he's grown within it, but like, this is, people tune in who love speedrunning because he's constantly doing it. I think he's got like an almost dedicated, like such a dedicated audience, at a point where he's set for life now. If he carries on streaming this, realistically speaking, no one's really going to get bored of it. Because it's a different thing. But the thing I was going to say about the whole filtering in for the last 3 years is, Corey Way himself has become a 10, 20 times much better speedrun than he was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And also with all the new tech that, like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that strat where I think it's a zero cycle, where they climb up on top of the towers and then build up.
Yeah, zero cycle.
Was that around 3 years ago? Like, did anyone ever, like, present that?
Ooh, when did it? I don't think it was around 3 years ago. I'm trying to...
Yeah, so, like, even that, like, that new tech shaves off, like, another, what, 2-3 minutes time, like, a run, if you go for it. Which Corey Way is sometimes doing, depending on how confident he's feeling at the moment. Like, right now, he's not zero cycling, but he has before. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think within the last 3 years, it's hard to counter because there's so much new tech. There's so many different new things. He's also been, like, streaming for a lot longer a day as well than he was, like, two years ago. So there's so many different factors. But I completely agree. I appreciate the stats. I'm good. Like, just more my opinion.
Yeah. No, and it's working out really well, I think. Because, like, Minecraft speedrunning has had, like, you know, ups and downs. It was kind of in a downswing for a while, but it seems like over the last like few months at least, it's definitely growing at the moment in popularity. And you know, if just looking at Curry Way's videos, like, he has so many videos that are just like a particular interesting thing that happened while he was doing a no reset run, and you know, he can just churn those out constantly. Exactly. So it's a great model for content. And then there's also, like, in my, like, just constantly playing, constantly having to find a way to beat the game. like you said, he's gotten so much better. There's a little like voice in the back of my head that's like, wouldn't it be so like cinematic, full circle, if like Curry Way, you know, just due to pure like repetition, like broke the, yeah, I don't know, the 7-minute barrier or something in his no reset runs.
Oh, it's bound to happen.
Would be amazing. It is kind of a silly idea because like, if you think about it in terms of resets, and obviously he's not allowing himself to, like one of the most important skills for random seed Minecraft speedrunning by far, especially nowadays, is reset efficiency. Like being able to reset a seed that is not going to allow you a chance to set the world record as soon as possible, just so you can keep getting through more seeds, find more seeds that have that potential. So like reset efficiency is something that like runners who are trying to become top runners will like learn and train. And it's a real skill to be able to reset, to identify a bad run as early as possible and move on. So like a top runner, if they say they have like a 6-hour session running, they probably would have, I could be completely off with this number, genuinely. It's been a second since I've like watched like Minecraft speedrunners streaming, but like I would imagine like 10,000, 20,000, you know, within like, if not a day, like maybe a week. So on the one hand, he is improving his skills in a unique way that like maybe even in a you could definitely argue he's improving his skills more than like a runner who is resetting to try to get the world record. Like he has been actively improving this entire, at the same time he's gone through, you know, 5,000 world, which if you were to go with great reset efficiency, that would take, you know, a few days, not a few. So it would be like very, very insane for him to just to get another record just because like the sheer volume of worlds he's playing, while it seems very high because, you know, all of them are part of his content, compared to like a speedrunner who's trying to get the world record, he's playing so many less worlds.
Just you wait until Feinberg does all 100,000 no reset AA speedruns.
Yeah, Feinberg is the kind of guy who I could see doing that as well.
No, yeah. He'd probably do about 1,000, but I couldn't see him going far.
Right.
Because, like, at least...
Yeah, not that he would commit to it.
Well, 100, well, like, 1,000 you can commit to, 100,000 is genuinely right. Impossible. No reset AA speed ones. They take about 2 hours, 3 hours a piece, like, unless if you get a good run. But I get what you mean. Yeah, no, I could see it one day, maybe. Who knows, he might listen to this podcast and might be inspired by it.
I mean, I would love to see it. I would love to see it.
You mentioned earlier a little bit about your favorite video of all time, but have you got a few more videos that you've really enjoyed, like, making, or just you're happy with how they turned out?
Yeah. So, let me look through. I think, that one-shot video I was very happy with. There's a video, actually, probably, if you asked me what my favorite video on the channel now is, aside from, like, you know, the ones I've made with, like, my friends that are, like, goofy, is this video, The Quest for Sub 15, which is our second most recent video, even though it came out 5 months ago, because getting the channel back process long and complicated, but essentially we got the channel back up temporarily without... the hijackers still had access, even though like they didn't appear to. So the video got killed by the algorithm because the channel went down like a few days after.
Oh, okay.
But that is called The Quest for Sub 15. It's the first like true world record progression video that I've like fully made in that style. You know, like the summoning salt thing where you actually go through the full history of the record. Most of my videos are about individual runs or like a few runs. And it's 48 minutes long, and I don't think I've ever made another Minecraft speedrunning like analysis video that's over 30. And I think that's probably the highest quality video on my channel. So it happened when it did. I think I actually originally released it a few days before, or like a couple days before the channel first got hacked. Once I thought I had the channel back, I deleted that and re-uploaded it because I was like, okay, got killed by the algorithm. I'm proud of this video. I want to re-upload. I thought about doing it again when I finally got the channel back good. And just looking at it on my screen right now, part of me still wants to just take down the old one and re-upload it. All that to say, I'm really proud of that one. I really enjoy making my friends fake speedruns, because that's a type of content that if I guess really, if I had the time and organizational skills too, I would like to, you know, push in that direction more often of like involving my personality, my friends, just because I think that gives us much more options and it makes it easier for me to not get on it. To be honest, a lot of my favorite, like my personal favorites are like the joke videos, or like the ones that have like a funny premise at least. I've made a couple of April Fool's videos. I made an April Fool's video about George Not Found setting a world record like 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know if there's any obvious ones, but I'll if it occurs to me that I forgot to mention one. Oh, you know what? Okay, the one other video I will mention is it's called Minecraft's Forgotten World Record. It's about a very old speed run, which was technically the first sub-20-minute run in Random Seed Glitched List, but it was a co-op run between these 8 Japanese players. And it's so far removed from like the modern Minecraft speedrunning community, which before the game blew up more, it was largely split between like the US, Canada, and then Japan. And then I guess fair bits of Europe, but it grew more in Europe, I would say, after the community blew up as a whole. Anyway, it's about these 8 runners who like would never appear in any other part of Minecraft speedrunning lore unless you go back like 10 years. And it's technically the first time, you know, a random seed run was under 20 minutes long. And the strategies used, because there's 8 of them, are so, so different from like anything you'd see in any other. So I'm a big fan of that. That's another one that I often look back on.
One thing we've been kind of hinting at this entire podcast, but we never got around to talking about yet, was about your channel being hacked. You mentioned there with your video. So when you said about your channel going down, you mentioned in the video that when you said channel going down, you mean as in it got hacked right after you uploaded that video, correct? Or did something else happen?
Yeah. So what happened was I got an email from a sponsor, which included a Google form and like a link, and it tricked me. Turned out to be a scam. I somehow, essentially I was working on like this sponsorship email. I accidentally, you know, downloaded some sort of malware without realizing. At that point, I happened to go upstairs and eat dinner. And I came back 30 minutes later and I was locked out of my Google account. The channel, like if you go to if you went to the weekly thing on YouTube, it was now like crypto channel with all these like videos up, which those videos that the crypto channels put up are also scams. So within a few hours, the channel got taken down by YouTube. So then I had to go through a process of proving that I got hacked, getting YouTube to reinstate the channel, which took like a month. I sent so many emails in that month, just like, hey, when are you going to get back to me on this? Hey, any progress? Any updates? I don't have too many kind things to say about YouTube's, partner support, or Google's more specifically. But eventually the process was complete. They said that the channel had been like, of, you know, all suspicious activity. I might have to like put some of my videos back up, the logo back. It would be safe now, but as it turned out, it wasn't. I re-uploaded that video like we talked about. And then a few days later, the channel rebranded itself as Apple and went live with a new scam, giving away like the new iPhone or something. And then, you know, got terminated by YouTube. Part of what takes so long about this process is that in order to actually get a channel that's been taken down back up in any sort of timely manner, you kind of need to not do what Google tells you to do and like fill out just the basic form, but you have to like get in touch with YouTube partners. Yeah, YouTube partner support on Twitter or X, the Everything app. And then they'll open like a specific kind of like support thread with you over email. After, you know, the channel had gotten put back up, they closed that support chain. So once it got taken back down, I had to go through the process again with a new person. I tried following up with the old person, like, can we just reopen this case? Because you already have all the information you need. And no. So the whole process happened again. It took a long time before I eventually found out what I actually would have to do in order to secure the channel for good. Because every time YouTube gave the channel back to me, And there was a couple times in the later few months where I got the channel back, but I didn't make it public because I wasn't sure if it was safe. And I didn't want to, like, alert the hijackers if there was any, you know, human even involved still at this point.
Yeah.
It might have all just been code. I don't really know. Eventually I realized that YouTube was not going to be able to secure my channel. They kept saying they had done it, and then channel wasn't secure. I would go to, like, the channel permissions, and I would see only my own account. But then, you know, a scam would go up and quickly, you know, quick click in, and suddenly there was, like, this new account that had access that just hadn't appeared there before. Eventually, what I had to do was create a new brand account, transfer ownership, or make that brand account a partial owner of the channel. Then after that, I was able to ownership to that new account and then remove the original. I basically just cloned my Google account through a new account, transferred the channel over. But YouTube has a ton of, like, guardrails in place for when that's happening. So, like, each step of the process is, like, this will take, you know, 7 to 14 days before you can, you know, make this account an owner because you just added it. Or, like, it took a really long time for them to, like, re-verify my AdSense, because at first I had, like, used my same, like, banking information, and then they were like, do that. So I had to set up a new thing, and I had to wait 30 days before I could, like, edit my AdSense stuff. It's just a really, 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 there's not really any safety for this. And I definitely, you know, if I had been more careful or just had more knowledge, I could have done a better job of or avoided the situation in the first place. Would have been pretty great. But all that to say, I'm also going to be, like, putting out a video explaining things clearly and thoroughly, and, like, specifically explaining, like, what to do if this happened to you, that kind of thing, pretty soon on my channel. After, like, a couple.
Well, I hope I'm never in the position, but if I ever am, at least I have you added on Discord, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you remove me, but, you know, let's hope not for that either.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how the rest of the podcast.
Appreciate it. Thank you. That builds me with confidence. Oh. No, but yeah, it's a little bit worrying in the big year of, at the time, 2024, that, like, the progress of, you know, helping someone like this is still very much poor.
It doesn't seem like a priority to YouTube, especially for, like, channels that are my size, like, you know, in the six digits, but, like, low six digits, like 100,000, 200,000. Those are always the channels that get targeted with these kinds of scams, because they're big enough to have a significant audience, but they know that, like, YouTube is not gonna, like, act urgently because there's so many channels that size. It's like, okay, we'll get around.
Yeah, like, other channels are running us the money as well. It's not that big of a deal.
Like, if miraculously someone somehow managed to hack Mr. B, like, YouTube would have it fixed within, like, 6 hours, you know?
And that's being generous.
Yeah, and not that, like, I understand that. That's, like, he's a much more valuable content creator if you just look at it in that sense. But it's also, like, we are in a way, us content creators are the reason that anyone can work for YouTube, can make money from YouTube. Anyone who's making money from YouTube who's not a content. So I think that mindset definitely could stand to be shifted or just better. Honestly, it could be as straightforward as better systems of helping channels that have had something like that happen, and better explanations and more, you know, clear and consistent explanations online, because it took me so long to figure out what I had to do in terms of transferring channel ownership, because on one of the, like, the first Google support pages I had, like, looked through, it said that is not a thing you can do. Like, you can't transfer ownership of a channel to another account, which you can if it's a brand account. But, you know, I was told by this Google support page that wasn't an option. So it took me a lot longer to figure out that was what I had to do, you know? And that's just an unforced error on their part.
In the least ignorant way of asking this, I don't really know how else to word it. I just want to make it very clear that if it does come off bad, it's not meant to, sorry.
Sure.
I know you mentioned it kind of at the start there, but how did you fall for the scam in the first place? Like, what exactly, I don't know, gave the non-fake vibes?
It was largely, it was a very well-written email, very thorough, like, details on the type of advertisements they're looking for, the type of creators working with. And then there was also a Google form in the email with a bunch of questions about like creator demographics, you know, what types of sponsorships like or ads I would be interested in making in the future, what brands I might be interested in working with. And at some point in this Google form, this was like a 10-page long Google form, there was like a PDF that I had to read that was part of like the agreement for like the first sponsor. But it like wouldn't read properly, like it was some sort of Windows doc file that like computer was interacting weird, and so it prompted me to like download it, and so I downloaded malware,
and that's where it came over.
it was just like that. I've gotten plenty of you know, scam, I mean, obviously, plenty of scam sponsorship offers. I would say probably a 50-50 split and which ones aren't, but they're usually much less thorough. The language syntax is worse, and there's usually just more of a giveaway. And I typically, before I respond to anything, I will look up, like, is this brand legit? I honestly can't remember if I did that. When I got hacked, I would
you
assume
probably
I didn't.
Didn't. Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't.
I tend to Reddit a lot.
That's what I do.
Oh, I'll search up for like, no. I'll search up the brand on YouTube and Reddit and see if anyone's done anything regarding it before.
No, I look up like, is this
for my one sponsorship ever, but you get the
sponsored post. And I see the yeah.
I mean, mistakes happen, but at least like, I mean, that's why I wanted to talk about it on the podcast, and I'm glad you were happy to, because I wasn't sure if you would, but I'm glad, because it's kind of, I know, I think a lot of the time with stuff like YouTube is people very much focus on the positives, which isn't a bad thing, but also like people focus too much on the positives. They forget that things like this can happen so easily. And like, you know, I couldn't, like, Inside MC isn't major, and I'm hoping one day it does get to a point where it's major, and I have a feeling it will do, but like, I don't, like, I couldn't imagine, like, because I have partial anxiety as well.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty open about that. It's not diagnosed. I just, you know, I just get anxious easy sometimes, depending on things. Oh, and something like that would just drive me crazy. And like, not even it just really... like, it drove you crazy, I can imagine, but like, not, but I mean, like, it drive me like really crazy, piling on top of the whole, you know, the scenarios and stuff in my head, etc.
No, yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, it really, I got really depressed for a while, like, especially that month after it happened, because for context, I was, I did a trip this past summer to perform in the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, which was kind of like a big decision of whether or not that was like financially viable, but I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. And then after that, in the fall semester, I was studying abroad in Prague. Which was also, you know, a big financial commitment. So at this point, like early in the summer, or like in the middle of the summer, I knew that I was going to have to like make a lot of money from the channel in the coming months, just to sort of like maintain doing these things that, and then, you know, my income just disappeared completely. And it was really hard. It was really hard. It was, at first it was a lot of anxiety, like every day. And then when I kept on running into more roadblocks and things just kept going wrong, and, you know, sometimes, like, occasionally it was my fault, but usually it was, you know, I just wasn't getting support from YouTube. I got depressed. I got really, really low about it. And luckily, I was still able to do those other things in my life, and I was having like a very like enriched real life over that period of time. That helped. But it got to the point where just like, the idea of my YouTube channel was a huge stressor, and anytime it popped into my head, I felt worse. And it was also such an extended period of time that I think I'm really appreciative now, in the moment, just because I forgot what it's like for the channel to be a good thing in my life, you know, not like a big scary problem I need to solve, or else I'll have to drop out of college, you know.
Okay, it's more terrifying it's your source of income as well.
Right. It's. There's the internet is so predatory. I mean, it always has been, but even more so than ever, I think. And obviously, you know, getting your channel hacked is far from the worst. It's definitely, if you're making money, someone's going to try to get that money.
Still think it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
With that then, unless there's something else that you thought I was going to bring up that I didn't, if I missed it in research, have we brought everything up, or is there something that you wanted to talk about as well?
I think that's about all. Yeah, no, I think I'm good. This has been a ton of fun. thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, it was really good to like just reflect on these. I think this is the first time I've ever been a guest on a podcast, so I don't really, you know, think about these things out loud too often. But it's been really nice to talk about.
Nice little internet archive.
Absolutely.
Before I do the outro, because sadly no Twitter questions, we did have Bendo saying back-to-back go-to mm-hmm. episodes. Obviously, he was the one who got me in touch, and he was very happy. He said Bendo's amazing. I always like to give this opportunity for you to promote yourself. So for anyone who's listened to this podcast and may not know who you are and wants to learn more about you or see some of your content, where can people find you? Feel free to promote anything you want here.
Absolutely. You can find us on YouTube, first of all, The Weekly Thing. As we've mentioned, we're not weekly, but we're back. We do exist. I'm on Twitter at @twtchazzle. I don't post too much, but you'll always, you know, be updated on my content. And occasionally, I'll start scrolling on there, and I'm pretty funny. So follow. Maybe I'll say something funny. Let's see. Do we have any? Go check out the channel. Go check out our pinned videos. See what you think.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been amazing talking to you, and I've really enjoyed this podcast. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm glad it's turned out so good. At least in my eyes, it's turned out good.
Yeah, me too.
Unless you remove me as a friend on Discord. Yeah. You did say you'll give me till the end of the podcast, so hopefully we're still good.
I think you're good for me.
Yeah.
At least for the time being, you're in.
Nice. Well, with that
congrats.
Being said,
it's a prestigious honor.
This has been Inside MC. Thank you all for listening. Stay safe. Don't eat too much bread. And thank you again. Peace.